And Kim, you're set?
Yes.
Great. Good evening, everybody. It is Tuesday, October 13th, 2020. And it is 6:01 p.m. And this is regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. We'll call the meeting to order. And tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance is going to be led by Assemblymember Morrison.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And ceremonial matters. We do have one ceremonial matter tonight, and that is the proclamation for the Extra Mile Day for November 1st, 2020. And whereas Wrangell, Alaska is a community which acknowledges that a special vibrance exists within the entire community when its individual citizens collectively go the extra mile in personal effort, volunteerism, and service. And whereas Wrangell, Alaska is a community which encourages its citizens to maximize their personal contribution to the community by giving of themselves wholeheartedly and with total effort, commitment, and conviction to their individual ambitions, family, friends, and community. And whereas Wrangell is a community which chooses to shine a light on and celebrate individuals and organizations within its community who go the extra mile in order to make a difference and lift up fellow members of their community. And whereas the City and Borough of Wrangell acknowledges the mission of Extra Mile America to create 550 extra mile cities in America and is proud to support Extra Mile Day on November 1st, 2020. Now, therefore, I, Stephen Prasanka, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby proclaim November 1, 2020 to be Extra Mile Day. And I urge each individual in the community to take time on this day to not only go the extra mile in his or her own life, but also to acknowledge all those who are inspirational in their efforts and commitment to make their organizations, families, community, country, or world a better place. So we will all remember Extra Mile Day on November 1st. Kim, roll call, please.
Yes. Assembly members Powell, Corson. Oh, you have to unmute yourself. Let's see.
There we go.
Corson?
Here.
Gilbert?
Here.
Morrison?
Here.
Howe?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka?
I am here as well. Any amendments to the agenda tonight? I'm not seeing anybody showing an interest for an amendment. Persons to be heard. Kim, do we have anybody for persons to be heard tonight?
Yes, I have Don McConaughey. I believe he's on the line to do the invocation.
Are you on the line?
I am here. And prior to do the invocation, I would just, on behalf of the Wrangell Ministerial Association, would like to thank each and every person who put their name forward to continue to serve, and those who put their name forward to serve, and welcome to the newly elected officials of this new council. Thank you very much for your service. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, send down upon those who hold office in this city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska, the spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice, that with steadfast purpose, they may faithfully serve in their offices to promote the well-being of all people. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. McConaughey. We appreciate that. Conflicts of interest. Does anybody have a conflict of interest with any item on the agenda tonight? I'm not seeing anything, so we should be good there. Before we move to the consent agenda, I just want to do a couple of reminders for assembly members, and we do have a new assembly member tonight. Assembly Member Corson, first of all, welcome to your first meeting. I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve just navigating the computer stuff, and really appreciate you sitting on the assembly and serving for the community. Just as a reminder to everyone, please use the blue hand option that you have for being recognized. And if I miss it, Kim is really good about sending me a text message to remind me that somebody has their hand up if I miss it. And it does rank folks in order when the hand first goes up. I have it ranked. So it sometimes takes me a minute to get there, but please use the blue hands. Please remember to mute yourself after you have spoken. And if you forget, Kim will mute you. What happens is that if you somebody's speaking and you murmur, everybody across the grand old interweb gets to hear it. So it's best to mute yourself, as Assemblymember Powell learned. So we will do. And if you wonder why all of a sudden you're muted again, it means you forgot last time and Kim muted you. So if you're wondering why there's a magic mute button up there, that would be Kim's fault. Just a reminder too, that if you can speak through the chair, it does help, especially with virtual meetings, for us to keep things organized and move through the agenda as efficiently as possible. So with that, we will move on. Consent agenda, this is a motion only.
Move to approve consent agenda as presented, Gilbert.
Been moved by Gilbert, do we have a second?
Morrison second.
Morrison has seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, poll vote, please, Kim.
Sure. Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. That brings us to the Borough Manager's Report. Lisa, do you want to give us your report, please?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a number of items, and then I'd like to invite Captain Spray to give the COVID report this evening as well. So first of all, we had to delay what was originally scheduled for a couple meetings ago, a work session on the water treatment plant project. And we'd like to schedule an off-night work session to do that if we could, Mr. Mayor. And I don't know if sometime next week would work for members of the assembly or not, but we'd like to try to do that if possible.
Why don't you pick a night and we'll just see if we get a few nods on that evening.
Should we just do the 20th? Tuesday the 20th?
Tuesday the 20th? Does anybody have a conflict with that? Looks like folks are okay with the 20th. So let's go ahead, schedule with that. Kim, would you please send out a calendar reminder on that? Thanks.
Yes, I will.
Mr. Mayor, we are also, we don't need to do this tonight, but I wanted to let you know, we're probably going to need to schedule another special work session to address the landless issue related to the tribes in Southeast Alaska that were excluded from the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. There is legislation about to be proposed at the federal level, and we've been working with staff in Lisa Murkowski's office, and a representative from her office has agreed to present some information to the assembly. And so we wanted to be able to spend some time going over that with you. Additionally, Richard Reinhardt has reached out to us on behalf of the Native community and would like to be able to participate. He's got a PowerPoint presentation he's actually put together, and I have said he would be welcome at that work session to be able to present that information also. So we need to check on their schedules, the staff in Murkowski's office and Mr. Reinhardt's, but I wanted to let you know we'll be coming back to you asking for another meeting regarding that.
Great. City Manager Von Bargen, is that going to take place prior to the election, that vote is going to take place in the Senate?
No, it's just going to be introduced. It hasn't been introduced yet, and I don't know if that introduction will take place prior to or after. My guess would be after.
Thank you.
Yes. Yep. I have some exceedingly good news tonight. I am very, very proud to announce that Kate Thomas, our Parks and Rec Director, was nominated and received the highest award by her peers, the professional award, by the Alaska Park and Rec Association this last weekend. And so my congratulations to Kate. She does an outstanding job for us. There are 13 criteria that you have to meet to be nominated for that position. And job well done to Kate, and I wanted to let everybody know. The second thing I'm very pleased to announce, Carol Rushmore advised me by email today prior to the meeting that we have processed and approved $680,000 worth of CARES Act funding grants to local businesses and community members. So we're getting that out there. And we actually expect to be coming back to the assembly at the next meeting with a request for potentially using some additional money that was previously allocated for other things that we don't think is going to be used by the end of the year. And we want to make sure that we're getting that out to the community, especially in light of the information that I'm sure you guys all saw over the weekend related to our economic situation here in town. So that's also very good news. I want to thank Carol, and I want to thank Siona, who's been working as temp staff to assist, and Joyce in making sure that those applications are getting reviewed and processed in very short order and the checks are getting out to people. So thanks to our staff for that. We are having our staff actually go up. We're asking staff to voluntarily do COVID testing on the weekends up at the testing being provided by our by search. And one of the things that we're doing to encourage that is giving every 2 weeks, we're doing a drawing for a day of leave for folks that participate in that. And we did our first drawing, and Keely Solverson from the Harbor was our first winner. So yay. Thank you, Keely, for getting tested. And thanks to the other staff who have been voluntarily doing that. I did, we've reached out to the auditors and asked them for a schedule. And so I think I emailed that to the assembly. And as soon as we have that, we'll be getting that out to you guys so that you know what's going on with the audit.
City Manager Von Bargen, just a quick question on that. So they're not traveling this year, and yet not. I'm not sure what is the price difference between last year, where they all had to fly down here and stay in a hotel and eat meals and all that, and the price this year? Is there a reflective decrease given that they are not traveling to our community?
That's a very good question, Mr. Mayor. And I actually didn't think about that. And I don't know if Joyce has an answer to that or not when we get to the approval of their contract.
It looks similar to me to what we paid last year. And I think we absolutely need to hold them accountable for that.
Indeed, Mr. Mayor.
Given that we've cut all travel for our employees, it would sure be nice not to pay for their non-travel.
Yeah, I'm just making a note here. Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly, you saw the letter from the mayor in the correspondence regarding the winter AMHS schedule. I wanted to let you know that our lobbyist, Ray Matuszewski, and Senator Ortiz are actively working that issue. But one thing I want to bring your attention to is that in our COVID and fisheries impact study that we did over this last week to provide the additional documentation to the governor's office regarding our economic disaster declaration, there were no questions related to ferry service in that survey whatsoever. The top five concerns, challenges, businesses listed moving forward, number five at 42% of the, we had a 40% response to our survey, 114 respondents, 42% of them said in the top five, lack of ferry service was one of the challenges moving forward. And that was completely unprompted. And so what that tells me is that that's a much bigger deal than is really being talked about here in the community. So that information has been relayed up the chain, and we are continuing to do that. I actually will be meeting with Representative Ortiz tomorrow. He's in town, and I've relayed that to our lobbyist, and we will actually get that out to everybody else who needs it as well. But I wanted to let you know. I did spend about an hour on the phone with Randy Ruaro and Ray, our lobbyist, this afternoon regarding our disaster declaration and the information that was sent to the governor's office on Saturday. And as the assembly is aware, we finished up our economic COVID and fisheries economic survey on Friday. We were able to get that information up to the up to the governor's office on Saturday. Following that review, the governor's office staff has asked the Department of Commerce and the Department of Labor to get the appropriate information that they need, because there's specific statute that has to be followed related to a state economic disaster. So Wrangell has asked for two, one a fisheries disaster, and that once all of the information is in from ADF&G will go straight to the federal level, because that's a federal thing. But the economic disaster that we've asked for, my understanding from the governor's office is that we are actually, we're breaking trail for the state on this. This kind of a request doesn't happen very often. And so they're having to make sure that all the proper stuff is being followed. And so we have a fairly high bar to get over here, but they are actively working this issue for us. And I just want to say thank you to the governor's office and to our lobbyists for doing this, because we've been ever since we forwarded it up to the governor's office, there's been regular interaction with their staff regarding this. So I'm pleased, and we will continue to do that, or continue to work that issue. And one of the things that Randy has asked us to do is think about what it is that our community is going to need to get through FY22. And basically what he said is, if Lisa, if you had to sit in front of the legislature and the governor and testify about what Wrangell needs, what is it that you can justify? And I said, well, I can justify $250 million in infrastructure needs, but that might be going a little bit too far. So he actually spoke about, you know, plans for additional grants to community businesses and individuals and those sorts of things. So we as staff are going to be putting our heads together as to what it looks like if this disaster declaration becomes a reality at the state level, and that there are potentially some resources opened up for us and other places in the state. So, we're continuing to work that issue.
Lisa, could I, and that will come back to the assembly for review prior to going up.
Of course.
So yes. We can have some input on things as well. That's great. Yeah. Thank you.
As the assembly is aware, the Valvota case was dismissed, and we will be meeting on that in executive session as well. And then I wanted to let you guys know that the police chief has been working very diligently on getting information together regarding body cams. That's something that has come up a handful of times, and he's gotten the information to me, and so expect to see that on the agenda for the second meeting of the month. And thankfully, he reached out to Petersburg, and Petersburg actually purchased body cams with their CARES Act money because it's the ability to do contact tracing with that. So we are going to be doing the same thing. So anyway, all of that information's been put together, and we'll have that before you at the next meeting. And I think, yesterday and today, our contractor started working on the touchless fixtures installation. And so I just wanted to let everybody know, come on by City Hall. You have to just wave your magic wand over the top of the toilet and ka-psh, down it goes. It's very exciting. So we're moving
the
forward.
Bathroom at City Hall. The city manager has just given that directive to the community. I hope media takes that up as a new scoop right there. Oh, that's a horrible thing.
Yeah, let's
not go there.
We're going downhill from here.
We're going downhill. Questions? Oh, sorry, do you have something else?
No, Mr. Mayor, that's all I have, other than to, if the assembly is ready to have Captain Spray do the COVID report.
I'm just seeing if there's any questions. Yeah, Assemblymember Gilbert.
Just one question on the Parks and Rec report. I really do want you to encourage Kate to form the 501c3 organization that she's thinking about. And I believe the library may have a 501c3 through the Friends of the Library, and I believe the museum has one through the Friends of the Museum. What I would suggest is the fire department and EMS create one and have the city either provide attorney services to do that and kind of coordinate it and publish it on our website. Just a few weeks ago, I had a community member
ask me how they can contribute money to the fire department for travel and training and to the EMS department. So I believe that would be a very good thing.
Yeah, Assemblymember Gilbert, there is the Firefighters Association, which is a 501c3. And so that would be the appropriate means there. But definitely we encouraged the museum when they were looking at shutting down the Friends of the Museum. And we had some wonderful folks step up to continue that on. And I'm really glad we did. So I agree. I think having arms, fundraising arms in the departments where it's appropriate is a great idea.
And to, yes, to publicize it.
Yeah, absolutely. So
the community is aware of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Follow up with City Manager Von Bargen. Okay, I think Captain Spray, you're up.
All right.
There you are.
There we are. I know I'll get in trouble if I don't have that
on. You better get it on.
Get it there. Okay. Good evening, everybody. As you guys may have seen, the state is in, basically, we are red all across the state due to our increase, a steady acceleration of numbers in just all over. They can't attribute this increase in numbers to any one thing. The state EOC this morning said it's just coming from everywhere. It's not just one music concert or one sporting event. These numbers are just increasing all over the board. Today our numbers were for the state 157. I guess I should back up, sorry, and say, by the way, Wrangell today is still COVID-free, as far as we know. I apologize. Let me give you the good news here. And going back to the state numbers, over the last just 4 days, we've seen over 800 cases alone. So, you know, it took us months initially to get those to that number, and we've just seen a steady climb. So, currently, we sit at 10,028 cases. So unfortunately, we reached that milestone. Of that, 5,000 are considered recovered, 5,284. So half are still active cases. There are 44 current hospitalizations in the state that are COVID hospitalizations. And as our state medical director continues to say, you know, whatever you can do to keep yourself safe, to keep yourself healthy, so we can stay out of the hospital, that will take the pressure off. It's not necessarily that all of our beds are full because of COVID cases, but they're full for a variety of things. So whatever we can do to stay out of the hospital and kind of ease that for our hospital staff, you know, wear your seatbelt, wear your helmet, wash your hands. It all goes together. So right now the state, with these increase in numbers, are completely overwhelmed with contact tracing. It has been a significant challenge on them. An indication of that is our public health nurse is actually, they've incorporated their continuity of operations plan right now, and they shifted all of their activities solely to contact tracing. So I know early on, June, July timeframe, we were reminding people to seek out their, you know, always health stuff, you know, go and ensure that they are following up with getting their vaccinations and whatnot. And they've shifted that to search. They've reached out to search here for Wrangell, just to not necessarily pass that along, but let them know that their department was not going to be operating as per usual. So public health nursing for Petersburg and Wrangell have shifted solely to contact tracing. Testing for Wrangell continues to be conducted solely through search, and they are still offering asymptomatic testing on Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 3. Encourage everyone to take part in that. As Lisa mentioned, the city employees are get to put their name in the hat and have a little incentivized offering there. First responders are still taking part in bi-weekly testing that has been offered for a long time, and we appreciate that from Search. There is a flu vaccine clinic that's going to be happening this Saturday, the 17th, from 10 to 2, and it'll be happening in the elementary school parking lot. EMS will be on standby should anything, you know, anyone feel woozy or whatever, but to do our part and help with that. So we encourage everyone, this is free to anyone who wants their flu vaccine. So again, this Saturday from 10 to 2 in the elementary school parking lot, that will be conducted by through Search, a drive-through clinic. On the vaccine side of things, the state is still conducting bi-weekly meetings regarding their vaccine and all the preparations that are being made within the state for distribution and management. The federal government has asked for a plan. Sorry, fire radio on. The federal government has asked for a distribution plan and management plan to be sent in by October 15th. So tomorrow, I believe there's a meeting, an echo meeting is what they call them, to talk about some of the finer details of what they're working on. And that happens at 3 o'clock. And that was all about the vaccine information. So if you have any questions regarding flu vaccine, I can get Lisa the link for that. And anybody's encouraged to listen in for that. Speaking of the federal government, they are due to end some supply distributions that they've started as soon as this pandemic began. They were providing all of the states with the testing supplies. And as January 1st comes around, they are no longer going to be doing that. And so it will be up to individual states to find commercial vendors. And they have encouraged people to go back to your original commercial vendors to procure those testing supplies. This is where I am super thankful we have Search in our community, because they have different pools, they have different pockets that they can search for things through. And I have spoke with Carly, and she has assured me that they do not see any kind of hiccup with the testing at this point in time.
Can I question, quick question for you there, Captain Spray, the supplies, does that include PPE? And does that also include things that we would generally draw upon as a municipality?
Initially, I thought that that's what they discussed, was it was all PPE and testing. I've spoke with the state EOC twice since then, and they have assured me it was only the testing supplies. PPE will still be available. They are sending out kits with in their plan for distribution for vaccine. They're going to be sending out minor bits of PPE with that. So there will still be some need for that, and the state recognizes that. So they are keeping those channels open.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Troy, will you please keep us informed of that? Because we may want to involve the delegation and get a letter as a municipality to the delegation requesting that they not. I appreciate that Search has access to supplies, but we may need to kind of pull in some markers and see what we can do on that. So, and I see City Manager Von Bargen nodding, seeing another letter in her future here. So,
and I wholeheartedly agree. There were some communities on our joint information call this afternoon that said, you know, initially they never had commercial vendors set up, and commercial vendors aren't accepting new places. You know, sorry, we don't need any other customers right now. We're full. And so we're going to see some kickback from that and smaller communities. I have my fingers crossed that that won't happen here, but I'm definitely, it's on my radar to monitor and keep in touch with search regarding that.
Perfect. Captain Spray, Assemblymember Corson has a question for you.
Yes, ma'am. Bear with me. This is my first meeting here. I don't know if you're privy to this information, but if a person tests positive in Wrangell, typically are they kept in Wrangell? Let's say they have to be intubated, or are they shipped out? And who incurs the cost? Is that like considered a patient type thing, or is there a federal funding that takes care of the medical portion of that?
I absolutely appreciate that question. So if a person in Wrangell tests positive and they have a need for hospitalization and they have sought medical care, they will be transferred out of our community. As far as the who incurs that cost, that is still a question that I have for their full medical care. I don't have the proper answer for that. They are encouraging folks to, you know, everyone is encouraged to have Medevac insurance being where we live, but even more so with the COVID situation. But that's one thing that's not very, it's not discussed yet. I haven't heard a lot of talk about the costs that people have incurred from any of the COVID treatment. So I don't have the answer, but I will find out.
Well, thank you.
I can partially answer that for you. It's no different in some ways. Like if you break your leg and you need surgery on that leg, and we don't do surgery on legs in Wrangell, and you have to go to Seattle to have surgery done, you know, that's for you. I mean, you pay that. Now, the question is, because this is a part of the this is part of our surge plan, that we can't shut down our hospital just to take care of COVID patients. Like, there's a whole ward up north that's just for COVID. We can't really do that in Wrangell. Okay. So if it's going to Mount Edgecombe, I think there is a question that we can ask Captain Spray on who pays to get you there. There's also a question on who pays to get you home. You know, if you're shipped out, do you have to buy your own ticket back? And can you travel without going on a private carrier? And there's got to be special precautions. We've done it. People have gone out, multiple people, but we don't have the capacity here to carry a patient through their COVID time in the hospital. We don't have the staff. You know, if you look at the staffing requirements for one COVID patient, they just don't have it. So that's why the surge plan is you go to Mount Edgecombe in Sitka. But it's a good question, but you know, in a lot of ways, it's pretty cheap Medevac insurance if you can, you know, afford that.
Well, I have the insurance also.
Yeah, for sure. Dorianne, do you happen to know what the Medevac insurance is, costs anymore for Guardian or Airlift?
I believe it's 170. Through EMS, we get a different. So last I knew, I believe one was 125 and one was 175. So yeah, it's
pretty cheap insurance given that flight. What does a flight to Sitka go for, to Ketchikan or Seattle? Hundreds of thousands?
Depending on the care you need. And as Terry has said, you know, if it's an intubated and such that's requiring a higher level of nursing, and that is definitely pushing the 100,000 mark. So 125 is looking pretty darn good.
Assemblymember Gilbert, you have a question for Captain Spray?
Yes, I have a question on the flu clinic for this Saturday. Are they going to be offering the high dose vaccine?
I don't have that answer. I can find out from Ms. Carly at the clinic. She and I only talked about kind of the logistics piece of it.
Okay, several community members have asked me. So maybe if we can publicize that would be great.
I'll definitely ask her to get that. I know Search put out a little memo on their site, but it also doesn't specify. So I'll ask her about that for sure.
I think you can continue on with your update. I'm not seeing any other questions there, Captain Spray.
Okay. On the note of PPE, and you had asked the question if the state was going to be continuing to supply PPE. There is a second round, which is kind of an unheard of thing for the assistance to firefighters grant supplemental, which was developed just for COVID relief and for PPE. And they didn't receive a lot of applicants. When they put it out, it was March, April timeframe, and everybody was still trying to figure out how to deal with COVID. And so they reopened it. And that is specifically for PPE and for EMS and for the community. So we are going to be reaching out, trying to apply for that and see if we have good luck. Just kind of an example of how the state is doing and what's going on within the state. ASA, Alaska School Activities Association, announced today that they are canceling all 2020 state championship events for activities that are currently in season. Regions are going to be allowed to complete their regional championships if they're able to do so prior to November 22nd. They're not going to be doing that state championship. Football, swim, dive, gymnastics, rifle, music, esports, drama, debate, and forensics, and volleyball are all included in that. So they are going to postpone all other activities until they adopt their revised calendar, which will be discussed on, I believe, November 9th. So they're taking some pretty significant actions regarding sports. I know we spoke with Billy Strickland was on a while back on the school board or school assembly meeting, school board meeting, and talked about, you know, they're going to look at this. And this is definitely a clear picture of what they looked at and what they saw. So, you know, I think it's good. We need to take it serious. I appreciate we started a travel committee, I guess, looking at all the things for all the sports in Wrangell with some administration. They have student parent, myself representing the EOC and the, oh goodness. Trissa, I apologize, Trissa Rooney, I forgot her position, the all-important one for sports, just to look at everything and make sure we're doing it right when we are traveling anywhere. I know that swim was just able to go over to Petersburg this last weekend, as well as our cross-country team 2 weeks ago, we were able to go over to Petersburg, so... I'm glad they were able to do that. They feel that that was done safely, and they had, I think, a 6-page mitigation plan. So that's the last thing we are working on with the school is continuing to look at their mitigation and isolation plans. They've revised it a couple of times, and that was just forwarded to us over the weekend by Ms. Lancaster. And so we'll be going through that, and I have one more training to conduct with them regarding N95 and their PPE, because they are getting N95 fit tested complements of search as well. I think that is about everything that I have written down. If anybody has anything else or any questions, I don't know.
Any questions for Captain Spray from the assembly? You may well be off the hook here, Captain Spray. Thank you so much for coming down and doing an update for us tonight. We really appreciate it. Do you have anything else, Lisa? You're good?
Okay. No, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, that brings us to the clerk's file. Clerk Lane, what do you have for us tonight?
So, of course, as you all know, we had a very successful election on October 6th. And thank you so much to everybody that's submitted to be on the ballot. And as Mayor Prasanka said on the 8th when we certified the election. If you did not get in, please don't let that dissuade you. I love getting people to submit letters of interest when vacancies come about and on the next election next year. Let's see. I'd like to say a huge thank you to the election workers and to the Public Works Department. I know I say this every year, but I mean it sincerely from the bottom of my heart. The Nolan Center, Cindy, you are a rock star. You were there super early in the morning and you came back and stayed until we were done at 9:30. And I sincerely appreciate that. And to the workers, I am absolutely thrilled that I have you. I never worry. And especially with Sarah Merritt and Deanna Reeves, you guys did an exceptional job. And then also we did have, as I said, on the 8th, we had a student who we actually worked with the middle school or the high school rather, and were able to, at the suggestion from the mayor, get a senior student to do a senior project. And she worked the election all day long, helping voters when they came in to make sure they sanitized. And everybody was so nice to her. Elizabeth, oh, goodness gracious, Stuart, I think it was. Yes? Okay. Elizabeth, you are a rock star. If you're listening, thank you so much. I think we helped her come out of her shell a little bit. Now when I see her, she has a big thank you and hello for me. And so anyway, thank you, Mayor, for that suggestion. And I think we're going to try to do that every year. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more, I don't know, involved with the actual election and not so much, you know, the sanitation and part of it. So also the school board did appoint Cindy Crary to fill the vacancy on the school board until October 2021. And so that was done last night. And finally, what I have is since the voters did vote in favor of ratifying the ordinance for the Wrangell to withdraw from the IFA, the Inter-Island Ferry Authority, I went ahead and worked with the attorney and we had a letter drafted that withdrew us from that authority, and I sent that letter off today. Did you have a question, Mr. Mayor? I saw you.
Nope, just getting ready in anticipation.
Okay. So, and unless anybody has any questions, that's all I have.
Do you simply have any questions for Clerk Lane? Not seeing anything. Kim, if we could do up a formal thank you to our election workers and a certificate of appreciation for the young woman who worked from the school. I'd like to just be able to help her round out her senior project by having a certificate that she can put in with her project to show her work. I'd really appreciate that. And I know the assembly, if we could get her onto the Zoom meeting so we can all see her and thank her together, that would be awesome, but also to recognize everybody.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you. All right, Mayor and Assembly Business. For folks that are new, for Terry, so this is a chance for if you have anything going on that you're being involved with in the community or projects that you've been working on behalf of the city or committees that you might sit on, this would be an opportunity to update the community and the assembly on what's happening. So does anybody have any reports to make under this?